Our next speakers, we have two. They're respected industry analysts from well-known firms. One is Trend Focus, and the other one is ABR Investment. Maybe we might find out where the money's going from the big VCs here. You can hold that question for them. So we're staying on theme here of NVM and persistent memory. I'd like to welcome up two researchers here. Matt Bryson is the VP of Hardware Research at ABR, and John Chen is VP of assume research at Trend Micro.
Trend Focus.
Is this on? Yeah, it's on.
You're on.
Okay.
Great. So you're both live.
Great. Morning, everybody. We're going to kind of tag team this one a bit. Our friend and clients from ABR Investments, and Matt is taking the time to assemble their view of the market, and we'll talk kind of through some of our views on at least the SSD space as it relates to PCIe adoption into client and enterprise. So,
and John's going to really give you the well thought out industry view where he's done lots of research, and I'm going to give you the shoot from the hip Wall Street view where I'm paid to have opinions, but people will tell you that if I was good at what I did, I'd be on the buy side making investment decisions instead of advising others. So take everything I say with a grain of salt.
All right, so want to flick slide or go ahead and do it? Oh, there we go. All right, so we'll just really quickly cover NAND supply dynamics and then kind of go into the market outlooks and then into SSDs. First thing we want to talk about is Trend Focus view of the kind of the supply demand side of NAND. As you know, last year was a very well balanced year. We saw, you know, a very, very stable pricing. And then the question becomes, going forward, how do we look at, you know, supply demand dynamics and whether or not the industry, the NAND industry itself, can keep things well in balance? The hypothesis for now is that perhaps this year we can probably keep things in balance, but as we start to, you know, move down through other technology transitions, through smaller lithographies, as well as the transition to 3D, and as well as kind of the maturing markets on some of the device side, we may be setting ourselves up for, at some point, some level of imbalance.
And so the Wall Street thesis is a little bit different, I'd say, for the most part. At this point, we're in a bull market around NAND memory in particular. And the thought process there is, because there's this move to 3D and because a lot of the capital cannot be transitioned, that people are going to be more careful about spending because the time frame for return on invested capital is diminished. Also, if you look at the end markets, because cell phones, tablets have become such a large portion of the end market, a lot of the price elasticity where someone would go out and buy a new card, for instance, has disappeared. Apple's not going to sell more cell phones if the price of NAND diminishes. They don't really change the pricing on their phones at all. Lastly, the largest player in the market, if you look at their profitability, it's tied largely into handset sales. And so Samsung arguably has a vested interest in keeping the price of NAND higher to give it a competitive advantage in terms of build materials. What I would say to that is the one thing to keep in mind with this Wall Street view over the next year or two is that demand is always a moving target. And so even if you're conservative and you're looking at 30 to 40% bit growth, say, and you're going to position your capital spend to achieve the lower end of that range, there's no guarantee that actual bit growth isn't going to be 20%.
And then, you know, from the NAND absorption model that we've maintained up till recently, as you can see here, the top two bars, the red and the blue, or one of the blues, because these all look kind of blue to me, are representing the SSD absorption. So you can see, as we go forward, although SSD doesn't turn, of course, to dominate the NAND consumption, it's a very, very important part of the NAND demand growth going forward. And then on the NAND supply side, and Matt will talk a little bit to this as well from their perspective, but we are seeing kind of a maturity of the tablet and smartphone market, and the NAND absorption rates may end up slowing there. In addition, a lot of the untapped markets for a lot of these devices are the emerging markets, and in those markets we're starting to see that they're skewing towards lower capacities and possibly leaving an open slot for expansion. So even though from a unit standpoint from these new mobile devices is still continuing to grow, the growth is maturing as well as the capacity mix is probably going to get a little bit less rich over time. Despite careful expansion of NAND output in 2014, again, oversupply may occur. I'll let Matt talk to some of their feelings about that as well. Slow 3D ramp, not just the 3D ramp, but also other technical transitions as we move into 1Y and 1Z don't necessarily give you the bang for the buck for each of the transitions you go through. And so the total output may still be tempered somewhat. And so that kind of acts as a buffer to some of the potential of the oversupply piece.
And so, while most of my industry may be relatively bullish on the prospects for NAND this year, I fall on the other side of the fence. My issue is that NAND growth this year is only expected to be off roughly 10%. So whether that's 45 moving to 40% bit growth, or I think the term folks guys are looking for 40% bit growth in 2013 falling to 35% in 2014, then it's a really small decline. The issue I have is if you look at the smartphone and tablet growth rates, and smartphone and tablets make up over 30% of the total market and have been two of the fastest growing consumer endpoints for NAND, they're falling. Those adoption rates or sales rates are falling by more than 50%. So you look at what Samsung had to say last week, and they were talking about smartphone growth in 2014 only being around 15%. This past year, it was within the 30-40% range, depending upon whose estimates you look at. So down by 15%. If you look at MediaTek, who supplies baseband into the fastest growing market segments and has been the fastest grower on the baseband side of things, they're looking at their fastest growing market, which is non-China kind of lower end market, and they're looking at that market only growing 30-40%. So in my mind, because you have those fast growing markets slowing, you have the card and media player markets that where there's slow or no growth, it's just going to be hard for end demand to take up all the capacity that's coming online this year. And that's particularly a problem in the first 6 months, where you move from last year where smartphones consumption grew 10% Q over Q, Q4 to Q1. This year we're looking at smartphone consumption diminishing by 10%. And so I'm looking for oversupply in the first 6 months. Beyond that, it becomes a little bit more tricky because you get questions around if pricing does fall, does SSD adoption pick up? It is a price elastic market. Does the Internet of Things take off? So Google investing in Nest, for instance, are we going to start seeing NAND in thermostats and other household devices, and how quickly does that adoption rate take place? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm very concerned about the first 6 months.
And the other point that we were making here on the slide is based on our 2013 projections. You can see from a bit shipment side, from a growth side, you can see the tablet from a bit shipment growth is growing fairly quickly, as well as the enterprise SSDs, which but total it comprises about 40% of the total NAND market. Is that right? Or total 41% total bit growth for the year, sorry. But in terms of the percentage of the NAND market itself, the client SSD and enterprise SSD side still represents less than a quarter. So as we start to see slowing the tablet and phone market, which is more than a third, again, it gets hard to see the growth rates here taking up the slack because of the smaller percentage of the market. Now, over time, of course, that will continue to grow, and those are the kind of the things that we're trying to model. When we're moving into kind of the PC and tablet outlook to see, basically, we're trying to track what's the SSD adoption into the client PC market, but the first thing you have to look at is where's the client PC market going. TrendFocus maintains this economic model where we map against GDP and we measure growth or contraction of desktop PCs and then notebooks and tablets. And our current model has, obviously we were down about 9% last year and very, very slow growth. We're in the process of revising this model right now. We may end up trimming that
out a little bit over time. But what you can kind of see here is that as you emerge with new types of devices like notebooks back in the middle of last decade, it tends to drive the flattening of the previous market, which is desktop. Tablets, we believe, are doing kind of the same type of thing, but it's not necessarily eliminating category altogether. So what you end up having is kind of a maturing of a market, which then poses challenges to, you know, the storage device makers, both the HD and the SSD side, as to how to maintain your business in a market that's effectively mature and flat. On the client SSD side, our view right now is that notebook SSD attach rate in shipping notebooks has exceeded 10%. This year is probably going to be, you know, upwards of, is at the high end, maybe 15% at the end of the year, which again, you know, constitutes pretty good growth. You know, we were obviously, the big thing is to see from the PC OEM side is how do we get people to buy more PCs. You know, Ultrabooks effectively, if not, you know, capture the type of market share that the industry was hoping for, mainly because the price points were kind of high. And so there was a lot of focus, as you've seen this year, on 2-in-1s or convertibles. So all of those things are very good for driving kind of the thin and light form factors, which we believe are kind of the long-term kind of secular trend for PCs overall. And as you do that, then things like M.2 make a lot more sense. When you can get rid of that drive bay and you can optimize for battery and smaller size, then M.2 becomes the default form factor. And then over time, as NVMe becomes the kind of the standard interface over PCIe, then you have common drivers, more commodity parts that are available, and we think we'll see the transition from M.2 to go from SATA to PCIe. So if you take that view of the top level of the market, that's very interesting. But when you really start to look at, okay, where's the volume of PCs going? Well, first of all, you know, the SSD costs for 128 and 256 are still preventing, you know, they're at a level right now that although 128s are getting quite aggressive in price, you know, getting to that kind of $80 range, the HDD in that particular, you know, bomb model for PC is about half that, about $40. And so we're seeing, you know, the lack of adoption of SSDs into that $500 and under, at least at this current point. And so as a PC vendor, as a PC OEM, when you're designing a high volume system, which, you know, you want to try to minimize the kind of the platform proliferation that you have, you find that if you're looking for a kind of a very flexible, high volume platform, you're still stuck with an HDD bay. Now, you can maybe make a thinner HDD bay, like a 7mm today, and then at least you get the option to go a low end with a one disk drive, you know, mid-range two disk drive, and then you transition that over to like a dual storage caching, or maybe eventually a hybrid, and then over to SSD. So that one platform can cover a large band. So we don't see the HDD bay itself going away, especially at the low end, and so that kind of poses the challenge of how do you, you know, get the market to transition to over something like M.2. Switching gears to the enterprise side, I just wanted to show a quick flash here of how we're looking at enterprise devices, storage devices. This is HDDs and SSDs. If you look here, the HDD markets are here. This is the performance HDD market, 10K, 15K. The capacity enterprise, which is really responsible for sucking up a lot of that data generation, data growth that we all hear about, is really the growth market there. And SSDs are on top of that. So from a unit perspective, of course, there's not much of a comparison, but of course, we're looking at SSDs taking over, you know, those type of workloads that are suboptimal for an HDD. Now you may ask, well, why is this market very flat here for performance HDDs? Shouldn't this market decimate the 10K market? And, you know, as much as we believe that over time that will happen, you know, transitions in enterprise tend to be very, very slow. And so currently, as we're modeling it, it's a very, very slow decline. There still seems to be this kind of middle tier of the market that needs somewhat more performance, but also reasonable capacity at a good dollar per gigabyte metric. So that still kind of preserves the life and the performance enterprise HDD in that market. So I'll let Matt talk to the economics of this.
So it's important to realize that the economics of the enterprise are extremely attractive. So one of the companies in the space did a study, and I'm going to mangle the numbers, but what they came up with was that enterprise represented less than something like 10% of SSD revenues, but from a profit perspective, they drove, it was something equivalent to, say, 30% of the gross margin for the industry. And you can see the margin opportunities here. So you look at what Fusion.io puts up for gross margins, and they've been consistently in the 50-60% range. At this point, they're high 50s. You move back to when Steck was the single source for enterprise SSDs, and again, you had gross margins that were in the 50% range, and they were driving, you know, with Steck, you were talking about 50, 60 million in enterprise SSD revenue. With Fusion, you were talking about 120 million plus dollars in enterprise SSD revenue. So these are real revenue opportunities. They're great for margin, and the hard drive industry shows that there's historical precedent that you can maintain these better margins and these strong revenues for an elongated period of time. So it's important that looking at new opportunities, that people pay attention to enterprise, and I'm going to step away from that a bit and say that's not to say that you should forget about the consumer side. So because of the higher volumes in consumer, even if gross margins aren't as high, you can still create operating margins that are similar because you're spending less on R&D, because you're spending less servicing customers. And so the net is, if you can run a high volume consumer operation, one of the lessons from the hard drive industry that the WD proved when they were on an apples to apples basis with Seagate, or as close as they could be on an apples to apples basis in Seagate, and that they had taken in all of the component operations that Seagate has, they were running equivalent gross margins and operating margins for a sustained period despite not really having an enterprise footprint. So, you know, there's a whole lot of profit in the enterprise, particularly if you can be the first mover. So, for instance, if Diablo is successful, there's history that suggests that will create a great opportunity for them. But that doesn't mean that you should forget about the consumer side of things.
Okay. And then just to kind of expand on that last chart that I showed where we show the HDDs and SSDs together, if you look at the SSD portion of that, as much as we're showing the fastest growth occurring in the PCIe space, which is the blue bar on top, the bulk of the enterprise SSDs that we see shipping out there are SATA. And as you're seeing right now, and as you're seeing right now in a lot of these new data centers, hyperscale data centers, there's kind of this move towards, you know, we need performance, but we need it at a good price, and is the performance good enough? And so the question becomes, over time, can PCIe in some other form or other forms, you know, supplant some of this growth or take over some of this growth from the SATA side? Currently, we're still mapping SATA to be the dominant interface in the enterprise SSD space.
And so on the PCIe front, the only thing I add to what John had to say is that I think PCIe has a great future ahead of it. I'm more skeptical about the card market. So when I look at the card market, my understanding is that the primary adopters have been those who are willing to pay almost anything for that additional ounce of performance. And what I think you saw over the last year or so was the realization among many of the early adopters of PCIe cards that they were overpaying versus what they could get for performance from SATA drives. I think that low end of the market creeping up on the high end becomes more of an issue when you do start to see NVMe compliant products proliferate because you get better value from, or better performance from that value set, what could be the value segment in the market. At the same time, from the high end of things, you do have either an NVDIMM using whether it's battery backed DRAM with NAND behind it, or an interface like Diablo has, or some of the new memory technologies that will offer you better performance than that PCIe card. And so you've got this creep from the high end and the creep from the low end, and I think what we saw was that market really, if you look at Fusion.io revenues and that chart that I had up there before, I believe that market really peaked 2 years ago in terms of revenues, and I'm just not sure it ever really shows growth again from here for a sustained period.
Also, and we'll both talk to this slide, NVMe in of itself could become the new SATA SaaS. And in the enterprise side, you know, we're seeing that there's a potential there that M.2 will take off and will be adopted into enterprise applications. We're already seeing some hyperscale data deployments, and you can talk to some of that as well.
Yeah, so it's not so much that the deployments are happening, it's that there is a certain, let's call it, subset of hyperscale vendors that are actively exploring deploying M.2 configure products in their data centers, and that's not necessarily that it happens this year, it's maybe next year, it's maybe the year after. You also have a subset of newer companies that are looking at taking that M.2 architecture and moving it into a more traditional enterprise form factor. And the way I see it is it's what Nexan did a decade ago with PATA drives, which is you take the cheaper form factor, you put it in a environment where it becomes good enough to satisfy an enterprise need, and it starts to eat into the traditional enterprise market. So we definitely saw that happen in drives. And what I'd say, if LSI can accomplish what they want to do with Griffin, where they start putting some enterprise class characteristics within that kind of SSD, that provides a great opportunity for that PC centric SSD to start to proliferate in the enterprise. That's if they can achieve what they're trying to do with their newest chip.
So in conclusion, I think we can both talk to this point. NAND industry will overbuild at some point, and you know, your feeling is that it could, you know, we may see that potential happening at the beginning of this year. There are some other dynamics and other aspects to the market that could keep it within balance at least through this year. Client SSDs will continue to gain traction, but again, this is sort of a cost play, as we all know. And so, you know, we do see growth. It's going to be a challenge for the HDD market to kind of deal with a flat or declining TAM, while at the same time SSD adoption begins to grow slowly over time. Also, the enterprise SSD market has, you know, demonstrated a lot of growth. But a lot of that growth has been in the area of SATA. And so, you know, we see that the PCIe has this opportunity that's coming over the next several years, but we've got a lot of things that have to happen there. You look at NVMe, you look at drive form factor devices, you look at storage racks and backplanes that are designed for, you know, SFF 8639, and all those things have to kind of happen before you start to see a wider adoption, wider deployment of PCIe. Do you have anything else to say about this? Okay, well, and the other thing too is, you know, form factor protocol really means that, you know, the vast bulk of the solutions that we will see in over the time in PCIe probably won't necessarily be in the card form factor that we know today. Any other closing comments?
Why don't you take a few questions?
Yep. Any questions for the audience?
What do you think of the flash array market? Is it going to eat some of those enterprise SATA or SAS? So how does it
That, that's an interesting point. You know, we've talked to some data center customers that are considering the use of. Oh, the question was about all flash arrays effectively and the impact on enterprise. And again, I was saying this is an interesting market. We've talked to some, you know, data center hardware guys are responsible for deploying into data centers, you know, for things like financial markets and sort. And the general thinking is that all flash arrays have a very, very good usage for a given bottleneck, given workload. But in general terms, it's not going to necessarily replace all of your HDD arrays in all cases. Now, as you know, there are players out there doing all flash arrays that are using consumer SSDs. In fact, you know, that seems to be the trend, is to try to use a consumer grade SSD into an all flash array. Over time, you know, you may see some M.2 deployments there as well, that they could be M.2 PCIe deployments. But so we don't necessarily see a major shift overall, but it becomes kind of a growing factor over time.
And what I'd add to that is I think it's clear that there's cannibalization, right? Enterprise SSD arrays are growing, even though the growth rate, or even though total revenue is small today. What I really struggle with is when you look at some of these software-defined platforms, where you have subset servers that have an SSD as well as some, or multiple SSDs as well as hard disk drives. At the end of the day, do you move to more to that type of architecture, in which case the total opportunity for that SSD array is more modest, or do you remain where your storage is kind of living in a separate storage area network, in which case the market opportunity is larger? But I think it's pretty clear that enterprise arrays or all solid state arrays are a growing portion of the market, and because of that, they're cannibalizing drive based arrays by default.
Who is next?
What do you think of Stanley Express? Is it still on the horizon, or where
is it? Well, that was interesting because I sat in the tail end of that yesterday, and
yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. SCSI Express, what's the impact of SCSI Express? I just lost my train of thought there. We're talking about, it's the connector that supports both.
SAT
Express. Are you talking SAT Express or SCSI?
We are talking about SCSI over SOPPQA.
Oh, okay.
It's alternative. So.
Oh, SOP, yeah, okay, sorry. Lost my train there. This is a big issue that we've got right now. The industry overall needs to, gather around one type of technology, whether it's NVMe or SOP. And, I think over time this is going to be one of those inhibiting factors for the growth of generic PCIe solutions with common drivers. I don't know if that answered your question exactly or not, but probably not.
What I would say is that, and I'm less technologically knowledgeable, but in my conversations, whereas a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, there was a whole lot of commentary around SCSI Express and Hewlett and Fusion were really driving that, and then you could make the argument, was that because they really wanted the technology to be adopted, or was that more so to inhibit the adoption of NVMe? And I never really came up with a good conclusion on that, but it definitely has become less prevalent in the discussions I've had with various people in the industry. And that doesn't mean I'm just not talking to the right people, or maybe the segment of people I'm talking to are just biased in one direction. But that's my two cents for what it's worth.
Question?
What do you think about
the
enterprise NAND, either higher endurance, higher performance? Specialized chips for the enterprise market.
Well, we definitely see that already, right? And the point here is that as we move forward, and this, we're seeing this both on the HD and SSD side, is that we're seeing the enterprise workload fragmenting the solution at the end of the user side. Is that you see write intensive, read intensive. In the case of SSDs, for very write intensive workloads, you will look for improvements in NAND technology specifically geared for those type of things. But then it's other read intensive workloads on the enterprise side, a lot more common garden variety MLC can work, and whether or not TLC will work over time is another question. But I think that you're seeing individual workloads be addressed by individual solutions. Tom, did you have a question?
We're going to have to hold questions until lecture offline to keep our program on schedule.
Okay.
So thank our speakers.
All right.